Tonight's been encouraging so far, hasn't it? It's a good news, and it's exciting to be together. Good songs. I am a friend of God. That's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Being God's friend. 2017 is over. Isn't that crazy? How many of you can remember New Year's on the year 2000? Wait, I gotta remember that. Y2K? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
I was like 10. I guess you guys were younger. That's 2017, though. That sounds really old. Sounds late. 2017. But now it's time to spring into 2018, right? It's here. 2018.
Yep.
2017 was great. I mean, obviously each year we could look back and remember things that were challenging and difficult, but what's great is God was with us through it. We made it through it, and there's victories to look back on, right? You know, I want you to stand up if you became a Christian in 2017. If you were baptized in 2017, stand up quick.
Come on!
Those are victories. Josh was waiting till the end there, crescendo. So, and he waited till the end of the year, so it's all right. But and how awesome seeing Vincent get up and do the welcome tonight. That was encouraging. Those right there, those people stand up, those are, even from the global perspective of all the companies and businesses and successes they had, the people that just stood up and what happened to them last year, biggest victories of last year. Made right with God, from darkness to light. It's exciting. Last year, I'm sure people made new friendships and got deeper in their relationships. You learned things, you grew in things, personal victories, serving. So great, the stuff going on every Saturday in Newark. And the stuff going on there. For Chelsea and I, our family doubled last year. Not our family, our number of children. So if you could just pray that this year we're less fruitful and we don't double again to four children this year. That would be crazy. But we have a new year before us. I think 2018 is off to a great start so far. It's been a good 17 days, and it's exciting. You know, we had a few midweeks. Mark preached on having great brother-sister relationships, and that was awesome. I know last week Matt preached about really being rooted to be fruited, right? And getting rooted so that we could be more fruitful with our lives. How many of you took the spiritual disciplines course? Wasn't that awesome?
Yes.
You know, what a great time. Just already in 2 weeks, a lot of growth, a lot going on, and things happening. And so tonight, I'm going to introduce our new theme for the semester, as well as an overview of just some of the plans and just give some focus and inspiration as we head into a new semester here. So please open up to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And before we jump into Ephesians 3 verse 14, I just want to lead into it from what's been said so far in Ephesians. And so in chapter 1, this is just highlights right here. But so Ephesians is such a great book. Study it out. In Ephesians 1, it starts off talking about how just God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That we have so much that God has given us, especially considering that we have an eternity in heaven sealed for us one day, right? That we have the Holy Spirit and an eternity in heaven waiting for us one day. How exciting is that? And then that's chapter 1. And then it goes on into chapter 2, reminding us that we've been made alive in Christ, that we were dead in our sin, but by grace, God has saved us through Jesus. And now that we're saved, God has all these good works prepared in advance for us to do for Him. And then it talks about how we who are in Christ are all one family. Amen. No longer Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, whatever. We're all citizens of heaven together. Foreigners to the world, members of God's kingdom. And then it goes into chapter 3. And it talks about us being God's servants here on earth to spread the gospel. And that's God's plan. That God's plan is through us, the church, the world would see and know Jesus. That's his plan to save the world. And then he says, because we're in Christ and we have this big task ahead of us, we could have confidence to approach God with freedom in prayer to get help with this stuff and the things that we're trying to do. And then that leads all of that I just said into verse 14. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, look, we can approach God with freedom, confidence, and prayer. For this reason, verse 14, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. This is saying that we're all members of one family and that you have God's Spirit in you, and that Paul is praying that out of God's glorious riches, you could be strengthened from within, from the Spirit, to grow in your walk with God. And verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Now he's saying, look, if you could just grow in your understanding of how much God loves you, and from that growing in your understanding of God's love, you keep growing to be more like Jesus. And then he says in verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, amen, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to keep going to verse 16, just so you know, of the next chapter, but I'm just stopping here and there. So keep the book open. But right now he's talking about, look, God could do more than we could ask or imagine. And it's not according to our power, it's according to his power. So go ahead and dream big. Yeah. Incredible things happen. And it's not to our glory, it's to his glory. So God wants to be glorified, deserves to be glorified. He's given us his power and he wants to use us to bring him glory. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, as a prisoner for the Lord then. Okay, God deserves glory. He could do tons of crazy things. You're a prisoner for the Lord. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Okay, man, you've been called to grasp how much God loves you, and now go live a life that brings him glory. Man, live up to that. Let's do it. Let's bring him glory. Let's do more than we can ask or imagine. Let's see that happen through us. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. To each of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who is descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. That's in parentheses. It's like side note. If any of you were questioning what some of these false teachers were saying, that Jesus didn't really come in the flesh, he did. That's why it says he ascended, because he actually descended to earth too. That's in case you're wondering, what is that? Verse 11, it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Okay, so why do we have leadership in the church? Why are there these different roles for these things? Verse 12, to prepare God's people, that's all of us, every disciple, for works of service or for works of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so it's Jesus's plan that all of us would play a role in the service of the ministry to help the church grow and for ourselves to grow to be as much like Jesus as we possibly can. And then in verse 14 it says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead of all that, which we don't want, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You could keep reading this. Isn't this some amazing scripture here? And you know, there's so much to pull out of this, but one of the overarching things that I see when I'm reading this is that God wants us to keep growing to become more like Jesus. And that God wants his church to be a place of growth. a place where he's being glorified by more than we could ask or imagine happening, where people are attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, where we're building ourselves up, we're growing up in our faith, where we're attaining the measure of the fullness of God, that's what we're striving for, that this is a place where we are trying to grow. And so that is going to be our theme for this semester. It's that God wants us to grow.
Yeah.
Our theme of the semester is grow. And this could be applied in a lot of different ways. It's actually going to be our New Jersey region's theme for the whole year. But, you know, we're looking here at Ephesians tonight because it talks so much about growing in so many different ways. And so we want to grow. And so I have 2 points for us tonight about growing. Sound good? And the first one is it's time to grow. And the second one is it's time to go. So it's time to grow and it's time to go. And so talking about time to grow, we already read Ephesians 3, 14, 4 to 24. I actually meant to read this after saying what the theme was. But it's all good. We read it and it was great. So you could go back and read this again. So did you guys see how much there is about us growing in these passages though? There's so much there about us growing to be more like Jesus and the church as a whole growing and just growing as a group, growing individually. And so I think really this is all leading in a lot of ways into this verse, chapter 4, verse 16 is in many ways a theme scripture that wraps all of this up. It says, from him, being Jesus, the whole body, that's every disciple, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, I would encourage you to memorize that passage. You know, and this really is our theme verse for the semester, and it just really encourages us to focus on stemming from Jesus, working together to grow individually and to grow as a church. And so, you know, it is time to grow. The truth is, it's always time to grow. As a Christian, growth should be a constant part of our life, a part of our DNA. You know, if you're connected to Jesus and if you're connected to his church, you grow. That should just be a fact that's part of it. I'm connected with Jesus. Well, then you must be learning. You must be growing. I'm part of Jesus' church. Then you must be growing. You must be learning. You must be becoming more like Jesus then. Those things need to go together. That if you're a Christian, then it's time to grow. Growing needs to be in the church's DNA. And I mean this in multiple ways. You know, but if you just think about what it means to be a Christian, it's being a disciple, right? A disciple is a learner. If you're not learning, are you a learner? No. So if you're not learning, if you're not growing, are you really being a disciple? You know, part of being a disciple is growing. I'm growing. I'm becoming more like Jesus. Part of being Jesus' church is that we collectively are growing, right? That we're becoming more spiritual as a group. We're becoming more like Jesus as a whole. We're growing in helping more people become Christians. And so we should always be growing. And I do want you to think about that on those three different levels. I should always be growing in my own discipleship, right? So think about it that way, man. I'm a Christian. I need to be growing. How can I become more like Jesus? How can I grow in my discipleship? We need to think about it in terms of the church. As a group and our relationships with each other, we need to be growing. Growing in our relationships, but also growing in our group discipleship. You know, that it's not just me working on my humility, but that we're becoming more humble. It's not just me working on evangelizing more, but it's us evangelizing together. Yeah. It's not just me having a standard of purity, but it's working on helping all of us have a standard for purity. Does that make sense? So you grow individually, but then we also think, how do we grow as a church, as a whole? And then also growth in terms of spreading the gospel to more people. If you look at the book of Acts, it was a growing church. It wasn't like it started at 120 and at the end of Acts it was, and those 120. You know, I mean, you start off Acts chapter 1 and there's 120 disciples. By the end of Acts chapter 2, there's 3,000 disciples. By Acts chapter 5, there's 5,000 disciples. You know, and then the church is spreading. New places, more people are becoming Christians. And so the church needs to be a place where growth is a constant. Individually, as a group, and numerically, right? That we're growing together, and we're reaching more people. And so everything that we do should be viewed through this lens as supporting that. Midweeks, discipling, Bible talks, family night. This is all to help us grow. In really all these different ways. Midweeks, okay, we could work on stuff together, build relationships. I could bring people and I get something out of it I need to grow in. Friday nights, man, this is a time to bring people, to build relationships, and to grow together. You know, Bible, all of this stuff helps to grow in all these different areas. And so, just as a kind of an overview of stuff, this semester we'll keep having midweeks every Wednesday, 7:30. And they're going to be awesome. We just picked a slew of topics, to focus on growing it. And so some of them, we want to grow in our evangelistic effectiveness, spiritual maturity, time management and discipline, prayer lives, personal Bible study, motivation, humility, advice seeking, attitude towards things, financial discipline. Those are just a handful of things we're going to focus on midweeks on growing in. Sound good?
Yeah.
And then we got family nights. And so we're going to have a lot of fun on Friday nights, but view this as a time to grow. Grow in relationships, grow numerically in terms of bringing people to them. We'll have all New York Devos. We're going to have Tom's Experimental Kitchen over at the Hughes's again. We're going to have a Winter Olympics as an indoor gym night. That's going to be awesome. We're going to do a decade party where we pick a decade and have a theme based around that. Decade, that's going to be awesome. We'll have a coffee house as we do every year to fundraise to help go to ICMC and stuff. We'll do our 5K to raise money for Hope Worldwide again. Friday nights are going to be a blast. And so view them through the lens of this is a time for me to grow. Time to grow in relationships and to bring people. There's some retreats and conferences coming up. So we got our spring retreat. Awesome time to grow in these things, right? And so, like Matt said, get registered, campusretreat.org. And then there's ICMC, July 5th to 8th in Cincinnati this year. And so, incredible time of growth, right? So, registration will go up soon. The projected early bird price is $75. And so, this is going to be the cheapest ICMC ever. So, that doesn't include hotel, which will actually be kind of cheap too, because let me just say this to you. It always helps to get ahead on things, right? So get the early bird, you save 10 bucks or whatever. And then also, one of the hotels is an Embassy Suites, which fits 6 people in a room. And so you divide the price by 6 instead of by 4. So I would just say, get your room figured out and get one of those so you could divide the room rate by 6 instead of 4. Unless you get a room for 4 and divide it by 6 anyway. Don't do that. Unless you do it without me knowing. I should just say nothing about this. So let me ask this though. How many of you, so Cincinnati, 9, 10 hour drive. It's across PA. How many of you would be willing to drive to Cincinnati?
I'm driving.
And to take a car full of people? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, I'm just trying to gauge out if we really need a bus for this thing or not. Because you'd have to, you know, chip in for the bus instead of just giving a little gas money driving. We'll figure that out. So you got ICMC, and then you've also got, anyone know what the NEC is? So that's the Northeast Christian Conference, the NECC. So, you know, every fall we have a campus retreat with all of New England. We're not doing that this year because our whole family of churches is having a conference together. So instead of just the campus of New England and New York getting together, the whole New York church and whole New England churches are having a conference together, except it's in July. So this July, this will take the place of our fall retreat that we do with Boston and stuff, okay? So, but they'll all be there. It's going to be great. So this is in Providence, Rhode Island. Campus registration is only $50 for this, right? So you're just going to have to get off of work 2 weekends kind of back to back, but I'm just giving you these dates ahead of time. Save up for this. Coffee House will be fundraiser for it. But be ready to register for those things as soon as you can. Also, we got Bible Talks. This is to help us grow in reaching more people. Be at Bible Talk. Bring people to Bible Talk. We've got 2 Bible Talks at Montclair, 2 at Willie P., 1 at Rutgers and NJIT, 1 at Seton Hall, 1 at Stevens, and 1 at CCM now.
Yeah.
And so this is exciting that we're growing and reaching new campuses with Bible Talks. Last thing I'll mention is the build classes. Those will start up again. So talk to the shepherds about that. But this is a time for young Christians to grow. And you know, you go to these classes as a young Christian so you could build basic user instructions for lifelong discipleship. Is that right? That's right. And so build classes will start up soon. If you were baptized in the last year and didn't attend this, then you should be part of this session of it. And it's like a six-course time together.
Awesome.
And so, you know, find out info on that and be connected with that. So I just want you guys to understand, it's all of this stuff, view it through the perspective of this is opportunities to grow. All these are ways for me to grow, for us to grow, or for us to reach more people.
Amen.
And so we have great opportunities to grow. I think this semester is going to be awesome. You know, I do want to say that I think it's important for us to be objective in viewing the spiritual age of our ministry. I think in the campus, it could be easy to think, well, I'm three. I'm not a baby Christian anymore. Really, I finally feel like I'm like out of that young cusp. I'm like eight now. It's like, okay, you know, but that's really not even that long, you know? It's like, I'm like eight. It's a kid, you know? And so I think we've got to realize we have a young ministry. And so right now, one of our top priorities has got to be spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. You've got to grow. You know, when a baby, that's one of their top priorities. You know, 0 to 4 years of age or so, like monthly growth is expected. You know, weight or height, it's progress. And same spiritually, we've got to have a high expectation of growth for ourselves as baby Christians. We need to grow. You know, and so that's something that we've really got to focus on, is that we need to grow. And so here's why. If you don't grow, there's really two things that can happen. If you become a Christian and you don't grow spiritually, here's the two things that can happen. One is you could just slowly drift in your faith and you end up leaving God, miss out on your spot in heaven, and lose out on all that God had planned for your life. If you don't grow, you're going to die spiritually. You know, it's going to happen. And so if you're not thinking, man, I need to be growing, that's the direction that you're going in. The other thing that could happen, possibly, if you don't grow, is you could stick around, keep coming to stuff, hang in there faithfully, but forever be an immature Christian and never really become a kingdom builder and forever just stay a kingdom baby. You know, and you just stay in a place of taking and never get to the place of giving. The disciples that grow are the ones that are helping the church to grow. When you grow, you're helping the church to grow. When you don't grow, you're keeping the church from growing. You know, you're not helping yourself and you're certainly not helping Jesus, right? So you've got to think, man, I need to be growing. And that should be, for the rest of our lives, we should be thinking, I need to be learning, I need to be growing. So you're not going to make it, or even if you do hang in there, if you don't grow, you're going to constantly need help, energy, attention given to you at a high rate that could be given to helping somebody else become a Christian. If you think about it, right? I sometimes can struggle with how much time, energy, and attention has to be given to helping disciples be disciples that should be given to helping lost people be saved. If you could just be what you said you were going to be, make Jesus Lord and be a Christian and grow and help the church grow, then the church can grow a whole lot more if we can really focus our attention on the lost instead of the saved.
Yes.
Right? You need to be thinking, I need to grow. We all need to be thinking, it's time to grow. And I will say, everyone needs help. Mature Christians need help. I need help. We all have ugly moments. You're never going to get to a place where you don't ever need help anymore. Right? I'm not saying that. But the truth is that babies and immature people need a lot more energy and attention given to them than mature and adult people.
Yep.
Right? And babies and immature people are much more accident and mistake prone than mature and adult people. And so everyone needs help at times. Everyone makes mistakes. But I just hope you see there's a big difference between babies and mature people. And that's the same thing is true spiritually. And so you've got to think, man, I need to mature. I need to grow. I've got to grow in my walk with God. And so if you're a baby, I want you to know it's okay to be a baby Christian. It's not okay to stay a baby Christian. You don't want just years to go by, but you're not growing. You want to keep growing spiritually. And I would just say, no matter how old you are, just view yourself as, I still have a lot of growing to do. And I need to mature. I need to grow so that you could become more and more of a giver and a grower of the church and help advance God's kingdom instead of continuing to be given to at a high rate. You know, when I was a baby Christian, I don't know how much this was intentional, but it just, I think through the people in my life, it was just impressed on me that I need to be growing. You know, I need to be learning from my mistakes. I need to be learning new things. And so, you know, it was just built into me, you know, grow, learn. And so that was my perspective on things, was I just need to be becoming more and more like Jesus. And so I honestly was, you know, I mean, I was a baby Christian. I was doing dumb stuff. I was having a whole lot of just me coming out that I was realizing needed to be worked on, and just selfishness and just really selfish. And then so that comes out and it's like, okay, so I could either say, well, I'm selfish, or I need to grow and become more selfless. You know, I remember struggling when I first moved in the brother's house as like a 6-month-old Christian, struggling so much with people eating my food when they came over. And I just remember that. And then I remember having a quiet time within the first week or two in 1 Peter 3 that talks about grumbling. And then it says, be hospitable. And I'm like, my goodness, I'm not like Jesus in this. And then I worked into our brother's budget extra money to buy food specifically for people to eat when they come over. I'm like, look, we're going to do this. I'm not going to be a grumbler. I'm going to be a giver, right? So, but just growing in things, contribution, my view of money I had to grow in. I was very selfish with it. I grew up, any contribution I gave growing to church growing up was whatever my parents handed me to put in there, right? So now that I'm putting my own skin in the game, we're negotiating with myself. I'm like, well, how much gas money did you spend to get to church? Should you deduct that from your contribution? And I as a young Christian, was doing things like that in clear conscience. That does not make me innocent, right? And so I'd have talks with people where I said, no, that's, I'm giving to my car before I'm giving to God. That's what that's saying, right? I got to give 10%, hopefully one day. I got to give 10% up front before I pay taxes, before I pay my gas tank, before I pay for whatever. I got to give that. And so that was something I had to grow in and to learn. You know, evangelism, helping other people become Christians. That was something I knew I needed to grow in. I'd never done this before. Meeting up with somebody to share my faith was horrifying. Just so clamped shut, you know, and had to learn how to talk to people and how to, you know, get over that. Still learning how to get over that. And it's just prayer and doing it, you know. But and then how to lead Bible studies, showing up just with my hand shaking and like so scared to lead a Bible study, you know. But just learning, well, how do I do this, you know, and just growing. And it's just so cool to look back at your young years and see, man, look how fast and how much I grew. Yeah. I just think you guys, you know, that's the way it should be. You know, Chelsea and I have babies, and every doctor's appointment, there's a pretty high standard of growth that if it was held to us, it would be really scary. Like, well, you haven't tripled your weight in the last 4 months. Like, that would, you don't want to go in and your doctors be like, you need to triple your weight 6 months from now. Now, with a newborn, though, they need to triple their weight by the first year or whatever, right? And so you got to be thinking, spiritually, God doesn't use these analogies for no reason. You know, think I'm a baby Christian. I got a triple. I got a quadruple. I need to grow at a rapid rate here, right? And so realize it is very much so time to grow. Amen. And no matter how old you are spiritually, it's always time to grow. And so I do want to say this: if you realize it's time to grow, then you also got to realize it's time to go. All right. And what I mean by that is a lot of times we think, I'll wait until X, Y, and Z, or I'll wait until I grow before I do this or try to do this, or We give ourselves excuses or time or space, or we're overly patient with ourselves, right? And instead it's like, look, just change, just grow, just go for it, just get the help. It's just time to grow, right? And if it's time to grow, then it's also time to grow. You will grow when you go. And so we've got to say, this doesn't just happen automatically, right? You don't just, I'm just growing. Well, what are you doing? Nothing. I'm not reading my Bible, not praying, not talking to anybody. I'm just flourishing spiritually. It doesn't, you're wrong, okay? You're not growing. Right? It takes help from God and from other people. It takes intentionality to grow. I want to remind us of this verse here. It says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So this verse helps us to see a little bit about, well, how do we grow? How do I grow? And so what it's saying is we all, the disciples, need to work together, relying on God to grow both internally ourselves and externally as a group. Right? It's saying from him. Okay, so stemming from God, we all need to work together and do our part to so the church could grow and build itself up, right? And so that's what this passage is saying. And so, you know, I've got a few just practicals here for this. And so if you want to grow and you want to go, well, where do you go to? What do you start with? Well, I'd say build with power tools. You know, if you want something to really be built and you want something to grow, use some power tools. You know, as I'm working on my house more, I'm just blown away sometimes at how much more effective I could be when I pull out my electric drill instead of using the handheld one. Like, it's just ridiculous, isn't it, Keenan? He was talking to me about pallet walls. He's like, dude, if you could get a nail gun, it'll be done so much faster. And we talk about instead of just not using a power tool versus one. And so if you want to grow, build with power tools. What are our power tools? It's the works of God, right? Our power tools are prayer, fasting, using the scriptures, faith, the spirit. So you've got to engage those things, right? If you want to grow, you've got to be praying about what you want to grow in, fasting about it, studying it out, having faith in that area, really relying on help from the spirit in that area. If you want to grow, you got to build with power tools. Amen? And secondly, if you want to grow, you got to build with partnerships. You can't grow by yourself. You grow better together. And that's what it says here, that we're joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's talking about fellow members of the church. We're each a different part. And it says we need to be joined and held together by supporting ligaments. You've got to have relationships where you're friends, but you also disciple each other. You're also helping each other to grow in things. And so you've got to have spiritually supportive relationships. People who believe in you, people who are building you up, people who are helping you see things in yourself, people who are confronting you on things that you need to hear, people who you're praying with about things you're both trying to work on. You've got to build with partnerships. Hey, let's help each other grow. And you know, you've got to have those partnerships where it's clear you're helping me grow, I'm helping her grow, whatever, you've got those relationships going on. Amen?
Amen.
Lastly, build with perspiration. It says the body grows as each part does its work. You're not going to grow if you don't put some sweat into it, right? It takes effort to grow. You've got to get engaged. You've got to get involved. You've got to put effort into it. You're not going to grow in your evangelism if you don't put some hard work at getting out there, sharing your faith, and studying the Bible with people. You're not going to grow in relationships if you keep showing up to stuff and don't talk to people. You've got to go talk to people. You're not going to grow in hospitality if you never have people over. You're not going to grow in contribution if you don't remember to bring your wallet to church, know how much you make, and know what 10% of that is. You're not going to grow in selfishness if you don't put yourself, right? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, you've got to work at it. You've got to put yourself in situations where you have opportunities to grow in these different things. And so to help you grow, you've got to build with power tools, partnerships, and perspiration. And it says that if we stem from Jesus, support each other, and each of us works to do our part, we will be built up, and the church itself will grow. And isn't that what we want to see happen? You know, and like I said, it's not just going to happen. You need to see how important it is for you to grow, for us to grow, and then figure out, well, what's my part in this, and what can I do to build with the power tools, to build the right partnerships, and to do my part of the work to grow myself and to help the church to grow as well. You know, there's another scripture. You guys with me? There's another scripture a few verses over that I think gives some other good insight into how to grow spiritually. And it's Ephesians 5:17. It says, 15 to 17. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And so three just quick things from this on how to grow. If you want to grow, you've got to be deliberate. You know, in verse 15, it said, be very careful then how you live. That's talking about being intentional, being deliberate. If you want to grow, you've really got to be deliberate about growing. What does that mean? I would, even tonight or this week, clearly identify one or a few areas that you really want to grow in this semester. This is what I need to work on. And if you don't know answers to that, maybe ask one or two people close to you. What do you think would be good for me to work on growing in this semester? Maybe it's stuff in your heart. Maybe it's stuff in your character. Maybe it's relational stuff. Hey, you know what? You need to grow in being more relational. Maybe it's serving and having, you know, I really never help out with stuff. I want to become more of a servant with things. Maybe it's effectiveness in some area, or maybe it's how you're doing in school, or with your budgeting, or maybe it's a mindset you have towards something, or a faith issue, some sin in your life, or something that maybe you just want to learn more about. I would identify some stuff, this is what I want to grow in, and then be deliberate about those things, right? Come up with some plans. Here's how I'm going to grow in this. Here's who's helping me. Be deliberate. Be very careful then how you live so that you can grow. Secondly, be dedicated. You know, you can be deliberate. This is what I'm going to grow in. This is what I'm going to do. But then if you don't do it, or if you start and then you quit, you're not going to grow. You know, it's not about doing something for a week. It's about being dedicated, the longevity of it. And in verse 16, it says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You know, so if you want to grow, you've got to be dedicated, consistent, not giving up in things. Certainly not giving up in following Jesus. We have never had a year in the 8 years I've been a Christian where somebody didn't walk away from God. And so that should sober you a little bit. Will that be you this year? I hope it's not. I pray it's not. But that's really up to you at the end of the day, right? I think you've got to decide, for starters, I am going to be dedicated to Jesus. I am not going to walk away. Well, that's equivalent with you making sure you're continually growing. I'm following Jesus. I'm trying to become more like him, closer to him. And so you've got to be dedicated to Jesus, but also to whatever you're growing in. Not giving up on it. Learn. You're going to make mistakes in what you're trying to grow in. Don't let that be the end. Learn from the mistake. That's what you got to do, and you keep going. And lastly, you've got to be dependent. I think sometimes we think we need to be super independent to grow in things, but we need to be actually dependent. We need to be dependent. Do we need to be dependent? I sound like Busta Rhymes. We need to be dependent. If we want to grow, we need to be dependent on God, right? God, I'm praying about this. Now help me to do it, right? And we got to be dependent on the Spirit, on the church, getting help from other people and relationships with each other. Man, I'm going to be deliberate about this. I'm not going to give up on it. And I'm going to get help with this from God and from some people. And so this is kind of reiterating some stuff from before. But you've got to build with the power tools, getting help from God. And that's being dependent on God. Build with partnerships. And that's being dependent on some other people in your life. And then build with perspiration, being deliberate and dedicated. And I think with these things in place, we're going to grow. Amen. You're going to grow. We're going to grow. And more people are going to become Christians this year. You know, with this in place, I really think we will see God do incredibly more than we could ask or imagine through us. Amen. You know, I want to close my lesson out with an illustration here. I really believe that God is doing something special in our campus ministry here. Amen. You know, I believe it because I'm seeing it happen. Yeah. I believe God's doing something special here because I'm watching him do it. Yeah. You know, I've been part of this campus ministry for 8 years. And in these last 8 years, I remember going to my first New Jersey campus Devo, and we had it at NJIT, and we were sitting around a dining table there, maybe 8 or 9 or 10 of us. And that was the first NJ campus Devo I went to. And now I'm coming to midweeks, which we didn't even have then, but I'm coming to midweeks with 70, 80 people here some nights. Come on. You know, and I'm like, look what God is doing. Look what God has done. In the last 8 years, we've had 101 people become Christians through this campus ministry. Wow. In the last 8 years, 101 people have been saved, reconciled to God through the work of this campus ministry. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. You know, last semester we had a gospel night with over 100 people here. That's awesome. You know, I sat in the back and I felt emotional because I just went outside and prayed. I just was, God, this is awesome what you're doing. Yeah. I felt like, man, this isn't over. It's like you did this and now it's like it's happening, you know? And like what happened with those 10 people could happen with these 70 people. Yeah. You know, and I was like, man, we have 100 people at our midweek. We need a fifth row of chairs now. You know, God is doing this. And it's so exciting to watch him do it. And I really believe that he's just getting started. and that God wants to do so much more through us. There's over 200,000 college students in our section of North Jersey here.
Yep.
Every year, over a fourth of that is replenished with new people. Don't you think God has planned for more than just 70 of those people to be saved? Immeasurably more than what we could ask or imagine. We can imagine 70, we got it. You know, but could we imagine 700 of those people saved? God can do that. You know, we're really just getting started. You know, you got to see that it's happening right now. And then we've got to realize if we keep growing individually and as a group, then we're going to keep growing together and saving more people for God's glory. And that we'll get to watch Him do this together. I want to invite you to watch God do this. Don't be blind to it. See it. See what's happening. You know, I see it. I 8 years now, I've shown up and I go, there's more people here. And it's not just more people, it's more depth of spirituality, more leaders being raised up, more people going on and helping other ministries after they graduate. It's just God is growing this group. And I just want to encourage you, watch it happen and be part of it. You know, see that God's doing it, see it's happening right now, and then do your part of it. And if you do your part in it, it's going to happen even faster. It's going to grow even more. You know, things grow differently in different places. And God uses all of these, harvest analogies throughout the New Testament. And I think it's rightly so. It's a great thing to learn from. Things grow differently in different places. You know, if you went to the desert, stuff doesn't grow there so well. Stuff grows, but you don't go to the desert to find vibrant vegetation, right? Things grow differently in different places. The frozen tundra, not much happening. You know, I mean, you got a pine tree here or there, a white rabbit. It's pretty barren, right? Things grow differently in different places. You've got the woodland, right? And just areas like where we live around here. And stuff's growing. Okay, it's progress. Things are growing better here. If this was us, I'd happily go to this, okay? And so you've got the woodland. But then you've got places that are just flourishing with growth and life. You've got the Amazon rainforest. I mean, the Amazon is like Earth's pinnacle of Mother Nature. You know, it is just, that is honestly, if there's any place that I would last want to be dropped in the dead center of, it might be there. I mean, the Amazon rainforest is crazy. This is a vibrant, growing place. And I want to put the vision out there for our New Jersey campus ministry to be the Amazon rainforest of God's kingdom. Things grow differently in different places. And let's not be a place of this type of growth or even of this type of growth, but this type of growth. Is this the type of growth you want to see? Just springs of living water coming out of us. Things grow in the Amazon. It's a crazy place. You know, the world's biggest rodent is in the Amazon. That thing is huge. Those are like this big, right? This is like a huge guinea pig. This is a catfish. That's a catfish in the Amazon. This is an anaconda. I'm just kidding, Shauna. There's no snake. I promise you, Shauna. There is no snake in this whole slideshow. I can't do this again. Shauna, there's no snake in the whole slideshow. I promise you, okay? Fool you once, shame on you. All right, look at this piranha, right? There's dolphins in the river of the Amazon, right? Things get super colorful. You got these colorful, cute monkeys. You've got these beautiful macaws. These things are wild in the Amazon. Right, it's one thing to see them in a pet store. They're just flying around wild in the Amazon. The Amazon, it's full of just bright colors and life, and some of it is dangerous. These are some of the most poisonous frogs in the world are there. Right, you think cute, and then it'll kill you. Along with things like the jaguar. I would also argue that the Amazon has the most spiritual animal in the world in it. There's a lizard in the Amazon called the Jesus lizard.
Yeah.
And these things, they can run on water for up to 60 feet straight. And so when the first explorers came, they were Catholic and they called it the Jesus lizard because they saw it walk on water like Jesus, right?
So you've got
just these spiritual animals coming out of the Amazon, walking on water further than Peter did, right? And then you know what else is in the Amazon that a lot of you probably be pumped about? There's a black panther in the Amazon. No, the Marvel Black Panther comes from Africa, but there are wild black panthers in the Amazon. And so the Amazon is a place that is bustling with life, overflowing with life, energy, vibrancy, power, danger, fruitfulness. And I really believe that that's what God could help our campus ministry to be. Instead of being a desert, instead of being a frozen tundra, or even an average woodland, we could be an Amazon rainforest for the kingdom. We could be a place that, just as we've grown seven times from 10 to 70, we could grow seven times again from 70 to 500. Now, we could be a place where we supply the whole rest of the church with future marrieds ministry, future singles, future leaders, future elders, evangelists, deacons, people with all sorts of gifts and talents to serve the church with in all sorts of different ways. Bible Talk leaders, great members of Bible Talks, to support the church financially. You could go on to get great jobs and support the church and mission plantings and Hope Worldwide. And the campus ministry, if we grow effectively, we can really change the whole church for generations to come. And that's the vision that we've got to have. We've got such an incredible opportunity ahead of us. Thousands and thousands and thousands of young people coming onto our campuses trying to figure out what their life is going to be about. And we've already been given the answer to that.
Amen.
It's about Jesus.
That's right.
It's about the gospel. We know what we need. We know what they need. And God's given it to us, and now we can give it to others. Right? And so we could see so much incredible stuff happen here. And so we've got to maximize our time here. It's going to go like this, right? You're going to start your time in campus ministry, and it's going to be over before you know it. And so you've got to realize, man, in my time here, I've got to be intentional about growing myself, helping this group to grow, and helping us to grow to reach as many people as we possibly can. You want to have a big impact in your time here. You know, I want to encourage you to realize what you are part of. You're part of Jesus's church. You're part of his kingdom that he's advancing to try to change the people's eternities with. And I want to encourage you that in this church, in God's plan to save the world, you have an irreplaceable individual role in this that only you can do.
Yep.
It says the church grows as each part does what? Its work. So each part has its work to do. You have a role to play in this that God has only prepared in advance for you to do. People this year that only you can share your faith with, study the Bible with, and baptize. People in this campus ministry this year that only you could be a brother or sister to, that's really going to help them to make it through something tough or to grow in something they're working on. There's things that only you can do, a part that only you can play in this. And you've got to realize what you're part of and that you have a part in this that only you can do. And that's exciting that God's invited us into that and given us a part in that.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about this year. I'm excited to see each of us grow. I'm excited to see us grow as a group. And I'm excited to see us grow numerically.
No.
I would love to see our campus ministry grow from 70 to 80, 90, 100 people this year.
Go.
God can certainly do it. And on top of that, for each of us to be growing in our walk with God, where all of us stay faithful, where all of us are not in the same place at the end of the year, or even at the end of the month, than we were right now. We're more like Jesus. We're more giving, more focused in our prayer lives. We're giving contribution wholeheartedly. We're evangelizing regularly. We're helping each other with stuff. We're really growing in our personal walks with God. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. Let's close out with one last song and prayer and leave here tonight ready to be focused on growing this semester. Amen? Thank you, guys.